Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The one who comes from above all, from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly, speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He doesn't ration his gift to the Spirit. The Father loves his Son and has given over everything to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. The whole season of Easter, as we've mentioned before, is a period of mystagogy, in which we help the newly baptized, and in fact all the baptized, to experience the reality that happens in baptism, which brings us to new life. It brings us to share in Christ's own resurrection. So throughout this second week, up until today, we ponder Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus about what it means to be born anew from above. Tomorrow, we will begin 8 days of focus on how we continue to be nourished in that risen life by receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. But it's so important for us to accept what the Church teaches and to live this risen life together with Jesus in all that it implies. Today Jesus concludes that conversation with Nicodemus, saying a few things. On Easter Sunday morning, we heard St. Paul write to the Colossians, "If you have been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Put to death the things that are earthly." Jesus, or St. John here, the ancient manuscripts are a little bit different. We don't know if it's quotation or if it's St. John's theological interpretation, but either way, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the text says, "The one who is of earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all." Do we speak of earthly things or heavenly things? Do we live with our hearts set on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do we focus with our mind, heart, soul, and strength on this new life? Or do we sludge through the old life? In order for us to live this new life, first thing we need to do is to accept Christ's own witness of that life. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But he says not everyone accepts his testimony. But those who do certify that God is trustworthy. Do we trust in Jesus enough to believe in his testimony? For example, that he is with us always until the end of time. That eternal life is this, to believe in the one the Father sent and what he himself has taught. So the second is to accept Jesus' witness. Second, to live this new risen life is to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. Text says he does not ration the gift of the Spirit, but the Spirit testifies. Sometimes we limit the power of the Holy Spirit to raise us up. We believe in him, but we don't let him be fully unleashed. in this conversation with Nicodemus, which began with a focus on the Spirit blowing wherever he will. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes. What we can't do is hide behind a wall. The Spirit wants to come as a hurricane. But are we willing to put up our sails and allow him to blow us at his speed and toward his direction? To seek the things that are above. To speak of the things that are above. Which doesn't mean we neglect the things here. But that we see how they're related to the divine. We don't allow them to remain merely earthly. We see what this life looks like first in the earliest members of the church. Peter and John were dragged in before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest himself questioned them. At a human level, this would have been extraordinarily intimidating. The high priest and all the Sanhedrin would conspire to murder Jesus. We gave you strict orders, didn't we, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Their response, we must obey God rather than men. Their hearts had been risen from the dead. They were no longer afraid. And they knew that they had to accept Jesus' testimony and not ration the gift of the Spirit. So they themselves, together with the Spirit, were witnessing to what they had seen and heard. Witnessing to that contact with the risen one. In such a way that they were able to say in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, stand up and walk, pick up your mat and go home. God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God has exalted him as leader and savior. We are witnesses of these things. These things of where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. As is the Holy Spirit whom God gives to those who obey him. They accept Jesus' testimony and they don't ration the gift to the Spirit. And they did this in the face of those who wanted to put them to death. Second great witness is the saint we celebrate today, Saint Athanasius. Incredibly precocious. He was still a deacon. He was the paritus, the expert of Archbishop or the Patriarch Alexander of Alexandria. And off they went to the Council of Nicaea to battle against Arius, who thought that Jesus wasn't eternal, that he was created, and therefore only by analogy, Son of God, rather than true Son of God. He wasn't of the same substance as the Father. And Athanasius had a huge impact on that council. He himself had previously written a tome on the incarnation of the Word, that the eternal Word had taken on our human nature and dwelled among us, that that Word continued to exist as the Son of the Father, the true Son of the Father, truly divine, truly human. And that conviction sustained Athanasius through a very difficult life. He was appointed Patriarch of Alexandria before his 30th birthday. He was patriarch for 45 years. But 17 years, he was exiled. He was sent away, banished by four different emperors, five different times. He was a lightning rod in the early church. But with it all, he kept seeking the things that are above. He never rationed the Spirit. And he continued to point to the truth about Christ, even at extraordinary personal cost. He was a witness to the things that are above, even in the midst of earthly life, that the Divine One comes precisely to strengthen us. Today, we're being summoned to be similar witnesses. There are many applications of what we would call Arianism today, of a failure really to see the divine. Many look at the sacraments as just basic rites of passage, little rituals that are basically just meant to make us feel good, that nothing really happens in baptism, that the Eucharist really isn't God, worth showing up every day or coming to adore Him, that the sacrament of confession is just some type of psychological session, that nothing really happens to our souls. No real need to call priests at the end of life because all they do is say some prayers. Sacraments don't mean anything. Marriage is just a piece of paper. There's nothing divine that occurs. Holy Orders is just a summoning from the people. Confirmation is just a Catholic bar mitzvah. They don't really believe that something divine happens in those sacraments. Likewise, with regard to ordinary life, people don't respond to the call to be divinized, to really live in a holy way. The real goal is horizontal, just to be good and a model of good behavior for others. Likewise, even the Word of God isn't treated with the reverence as if it really comes from God. We're constantly rationing the gift of the Spirit who gave us this Word to help us to speak of heavenly things and seek the things that are above. There's a constant temptation to avoid the divinity that enters into our humanity. St. Athanasius wrote about that incarnation, and we're called, in cooperation with the Spirit, continue to give witness to those things. First apostles filled Jerusalem with this teaching. Athanasius filled the world with this teaching. New York is ours.